Thanks for listening to the Von Hessler Doctrine Podcast. Remember, you can hear the show every weekday from 9 to noon right here on 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk. Live from the heart of Atlanta, Georgia, and beyond, hour one of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins right now. I am your lovable, for the time being, not so huggable, mid-morning chat host, Eric Von Hessler. The other voices you hear are the doctrinaires. Man of a thousand voices, Tim Andrews. Lady of quite a few voices in her own right, Autumn Fisher. And the handsomest producer in all of producery, Jared Yamamoto.
Wishing you yet another thankful Thursday.
I am so thankful that young Jared Yamamoto is the producer of my radio show. I mean, the rest of you, I could take or leave. That is, you know, whatever. But this Jared Yamamoto, man, does he bring his A game every day. Now, some would say his A game isn't, you know, but I like consistency. It's important to me. If you're going to be a, you know, I'm not going to give it another letter grade, but if it's not going to be quite an A, be consistent. That way I know what I'm getting. Autumn Fisher, depending on whether the moon is waxing or waning, things are up and down. Tim Andrews, right, a brilliant genius, but you know how they are. You know how these brilliant... Yeah, tortured. I got to deal with that. Then I got to get Autumn to psychoanalyze him. And then Greg Rush jumps in. They're all speaking gibberish. But Jared, every morning, hi. Hey.
Rock solid, man. Rock solid.
Solid, consistently Jared on a daily basis.
And don't think. Jared.
Consistently Jared. And don't think. Don't think that I do not appreciate it, because I do. Now, as we were going, about to go on the air, I just heard on the news, it just sort of surprised me a little bit that that Graceland is opening. Did they say that it's opening up for tours? And I used to live in Memphis when Elvis was actually there. We used to go stand around the gates and hope that he would walk by and flashes the peace sign and maybe give us a free Cadillac. It never happened. But and every car that came out of Graceland back in the 70s had tinted windows, so you could pretend that was probably Elvis in there, but it probably wasn't. So I may have been very close to Elvis, I may not. But my question is this: okay, great, who's the person who say, well, as soon as this lockdown ends, first thing I'm gonna do, tour Graceland.
Yeah, come on in. I'm making yourself at home. Wear your mask and socially distance and stay out of the jungle room. Priscilla's panty masks are available in the gift shop.
That's right. Is there been pent-up demand? Man, I'm going to tell you what, man. People want to tour Graceland.
We got a screening. They're coming up. Have a clam bake. Blue
We're
hole.
Gonna have a
We're gonna have a clam bake, a Corona clam bake.
Yeah, just socially distance. It's just weird to me that, oh, finally, honey, did you hear the news? Pack up the kids, get them in the car. We're gonna drive 1,000 miles.
Fox 13 Memphis has an entire special about it, how they're going to have 25% capacity, and they're going to make sure that everyone's social distance from each other. I mean, this is a great piece. I'm going to throw it in our feed here.
Absolutely. I mean, I just, you know, to me, it's one of those things that you do want to do in your life, I guess, if you're a big
now, the end is near, and so you must wear a mask. Or else you'll get real sick, and then you'll sue, and we'll lose money. Thank you very much.
I think the tour should end. You should hear his voice, and now the end is near.
And you've had a good time. Your kids don't know me. Yeah.
Don't forget the gift shop.
On your way out,
we've got
Mask for sale. With my face on more a hanky that I sweat on in the 70s.
I would think that Graceland would be like, I don't know, just like, hey, you know what? The cold country's been open up for 6 months. Remember we were talking about going and touring Graceland? Let's do that. I didn't know there was a pent-up demand. Well, you know, he's only got about 3 months to live, and he wants to see Graceland. So
before he dies, is what one of his dreams, Eric. That's his YOLO moment going up there. I know he's sick as hell, but he wanted to see where the king lived, wanted to go to the palace, pay respects to Mr. Elvis Aaron Presley.
I want to see what a really rich hillbilly lived like in the 1970s.
Wow, I love the zebra wallpaper in here. That's classic.
Are you kidding me? This guy was so rich. He had 3 televisions. He can watch all 3 networks at the same time. That's how rich this guy is.
I do remember hearing about those TVs and thinking, wow, that's how did someone do that?
Well, I mean, I'm surprised with you because you were born in 83, right? So cable was already here. I grew up a lady who wants to be older than, we'll age you if you want to.
I'm good.
That's that extra wisdom that you have. But in the 70s, it really was impressive because I had no concept of what cable would be like, that you'd have 45 stations and then 200 and 300 and 600. And the idea that you could actually watch all 3 networks at the same time, I don't know why you would.
Without having to go to your trailer roof and turn the antenna so you can watch NBC just a little bit better.
Well, look, if you were locked down in place and you've got that pent up, I want a tour Graceland thing going, I guess today's your day. Pack the kids, hit the road. All right, what's in the headlines? I want this thing about remote-controlled scooters coming to Georgia.
This is up in Peachtree Corners, where a startup e-scooter company has created remote control scooters that will come to you. This is a really cool concept.
Just pushing old ladies off the sidewalk.
Yeah. A gang of autonomous scooters.
You called this back. Get my way, old
lady. You're a robot. You're a robot all the way.
All right, so what I find this is interesting. This story is from The Verge, which is a Silicon Valley blog, and I like the way that the South is such a mystery to people, and they're describing so they'll be in Mexico City. You have remote employees who'll be running these things 1,700 miles away from Peachtree Corners, as they use Xbox controllers to move the scooter around a business park called Peachtree Corners to the north of Atlanta. It's more than a business park, I think. Peachtree Corners would be an area. I don't know. It's in the South. It's weird. But anyway, Peachtree Corners has been trying to be a little bit of a sort of a, they want to be a technology hub. And I think it's smart. It's a small place. And they've decided, hey, we'll experiment and do things other people aren't doing.
Yeah, they wanted to break away from Norcross. You know, I mean, nobody wants to be associated with Norcross. And so that's Peachtree Corners' way of breaking away.
Hey, I want to be associated with Norcross. Living in Roswell, I believe we border Norcross at some point, somewhere there on Jimmy Carter Boulevard. And so we have great relations. I don't know how things are going with you hippies in the city. But out here in the suburbs, we're getting along quite well. What this does is you don't have to hope when you walk out of the building there's a scooter there. So you have the app, and you order it, and then from Mexico City, people are electronically, like a remote control or like a video game, they take it from where it is to you. You hop on, you leave it there, and they run it back to the shop. Now, here's the problem that they're having. They're having a problem, apparently, in other places. I don't know if this is going to happen in Peachtree Corners, but they have a problem that they still have to have people, they have to pay people to round these things up and give them electric charges. And there's only a certain number of them, and so like fist fights break out between the electric charging people, over territory, and that one's mine. And apparently, weapons have been drawn in the past. So
turf war.
This West Side Story analogy maybe is not so far afield. But I'm not a big fan of these things. But if they can just kind of be drive away and go to some place where nobody cares and not be like trash, like litter all along Peachtree in the city, the way they've become. This business must have been hurt quite a bit. Or I wonder if the lockdown has hurt or helped them because you are social distancing.
Yeah, they're not out at all right now. You can't find any of them in the city. And I think the concept is good, though, because if you think about on the weekends where everybody goes up to Piedmont Park, these controllers can then send the scooters that way and go where the demand is, too. You don't necessarily have to request it.
Now, what if ISIS gets somebody in there and then they, I got an American. I'm just going to take off the governor 70 miles an hour straight into that water. What's that lake called in Piedmont? Is it called Piedmont
That's
Lake?
That's Lake Claremere. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I've only seen it a couple
of
times.
Of course.
Of course. I don't know why it would be called Piedmont Lake. That would be just be too difficult for people to remember. Lake Claremere. Very good.
Yes.
So I hopefully people can't get a hold of this and then go make you go really fast or mess with you. Or can you imagine breaking really quickly if you wanted to cause trouble?
Oh, yeah.
I want to know who's
like
in Mexico City.
I like the idea of someone taking some rogue, you know, Mexico City employee taking it over and driving you off a cliff.
It's going to be speed 3. Is there a speed 3 yet? Speed 4.
Not yet.
Yeah. The scooter cannot go below 50 miles per hour. And there's a suburban tourist on it. A 45-year-old lady.
I can't stop this thing.
It can't. I'm sorry, man. It cannot go below 45 miles per hour.
Help!
That's the whole movie. She's just flying through the streets of Peachtree Corners. Her hair all a flutter. My heart's a flutter. You don't want to know why? Because I know we're going to have a great Thursday show. It's already started, and it continues when we return.
The Von Hessler Doctrine.
They have such a beautiful chemistry.
Making listeners laugh every day.
The world could use a little more of that these days.
9 to noon on 95.5 WSB. Atlantis News and Talk.
Lord Almighty, feel my temperature rise.
Hell yeah. All right. It's happened already, Jared. Such a wonderful opening of this Thursday edition of the Von Hessler Doctrine. And my understanding is that we've already upset some people.
Yes.
Making jokes and whatnot about. I'm an Elvis fan like everyone else. In the opening of Graceland to tours today, I just think it's. I didn't realize there are people who their main thing during lockdown was they felt they're being kept away from touring Elvis's old house. I just thought that would be something to be later on the list. That's all. But people are angry at my opening Elvis thing.
Yes,
right?
This is from Chris on our Facebook page. He says, "You're underestimating how bored and desperate people are from being cooped up for so long. They will flock to Graceland and anything else that's open."
I understand that. I don't think they're really getting my point. My point was, hey, I love Elvis. In. Everybody loves Elvis. People
Come
are welcome.
In.
I just think of it as a pent-up demand, that's all. Yeah, Elvis is there.
Look, don't touch any of the nanners or the peanut butter. Keep your hands, keep your greasy mitts off that peanut butter. I'll come over and I'll karate chop you.
This is rather violent, Elvis.
I'm in the DEA, man. Look at my badge.
Excuse me?
Melanie, the millennial blogger, yes.
Yeah. This is cultural appropriation, and I'm not cool with it.
So, wait, this conversation or Elvis's career?
No, Elvis,
Presley.
Elvis Presley. Yeah, like he. It's not cool what he's doing, and I'm just not going to sit here and like listen to it and be a part and participate with it.
Now, hold on. You said, "Well, how does he cultural appropriation? What do you mean? What did he take? What did he do?"
So, like, I'm not that sure. But I read the article. Well, I read. Most of the art. I read like the headline of an article about what his music did to the African American and brown communities.
That wasn't me, man. That was the Colonel and Charlie.
Like, I don't know anything about that,
but you're angry.
I just know that you like participated in it. And
how old are you, darling?
23.
A little too old for me, but why don't you let me sing you a nice ballad?
No thanks. You have like a really nice voice.
I knew it. I had all them women's lib types from the early 70s. I won them all over.
Maybe perhaps Melody would enjoy a little the Southern Trilogy or whatever that was called.
Whoa, what? Southern
Glory, glory. Hallelujah, His truth is marching on.
Wow. Oh, I wish I was in the land,
in
of,
the
cotton.
Land of cotton. Old whoa. Times there, not whoa. Forgotten. Look away.
Guys,
look
no.
away.
Like,
look away.
I, no.
Dixie
Melody, the millennial blogger, is whoa. Not getting into Elvis.
Like, that is napkin? Just not cool. Like,
Melody, do you know what, by the way, it strikes what? Me. I know that you read headlines and stuff, but do you know what cultural appropriation means?
Of course I know what it means.
What's it mean?
It means like when there's another culture and you like do it too and you think it's fine.
Okay. And it's the thing.
Travel the
fine.
Money for girls covered with honey and I aspire to be as cunning. Reeling, rocking, rolling, beach side D.
Girls you covered like- with honey, really?
Come over the quarter deluxe. Why don't you wait for my body starts shaking like an oil projector.
Elvis, wow. you're not flying. You're not flying with the kids. You're not flying wow. with the.
I'm flying, man. Disease.
It just feels like a lot.
It feels like a lot.
Yeah, like to think
mean?
About other people and what they've gone through, when you're talking about like cotton or whatever.
Whoop,
like...
Gangnam Style. Hey, whoop, hey, Gangnam Style. I don't know what this means.
Doing Gangnam Style. I like that. Elvis, maybe know, if you... Had he lived, he just would have kept appropriating.
The player's gonna play, 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 play. Haters gonna hate, 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 hate,
like
hate.
That's
yeah, all right. It's just a
yeah,
shrug
yeah,
it off, baby.
A lot.
Anyway, you want to go in the jungle room with me? Got all a hot right. tub.
Do you have a story for me, Jared Yamamoto?
Yes. Mayor Bottoms extended her executive order that allows Mayor restaurants Bottoms. To sell unopened wine and beer.
Elvis, we don't need to be serenaded.
Her name matches her. She's the hot as can be. She's the mayor of Atlanta. She's a woman for me.
All right. So she's doing what now?
She has extended her executive order that will allow restaurants to sell unopened wine and beer. Now they can; these restaurants can sell it through June 30th. So this
yeah,
is
I guess the
thing.
Idea here is that because you're going to have, even if you can open, you're going to have reduced capacity. So you still want to be able to make money in this way for people who aren't going to come in and sit down. Maybe you only get 20, whatever your capacity is in your restaurant, which isn't. I don't know if it's a percentage here in Georgia, but it's about having to have space between people and tables. And obviously,
sure.
you're going to have to you're going to have less tables, less people. My question here is. And I, maybe with Wes Moss might know more about this when we talk to him later. Why does there have to be an executive order? If alcohol is legal to sell, and we all understand we can't pop it open and drink it in the middle of the road or while we're driving, and if we do that, there are laws, and if we get caught, we have to pay for that. This is when it comes to alcohol, there are all these regulations that are about people who have power in the alcohol business keeping you from competing with them. Mm-hmm. And let me just say this. If you're one of those people and you like this show and you laugh, the host hates your guts. I cannot stand these. I'll talk to a socialist all day long. We'll disagree about politics and we'll disagree about money and how it works, and then we'll go have a laugh and have a beer. The people I cannot stand are the people who call themselves business people, capitalist, and they lobby to lock other people out of competition. So stop with the executive orders and lift it already. Now turn this up, because I love this song.
Why can't you see me? What you doing with me? When you
she's
don't the
hottest mayor in the whole country.
I'll tell you a really great story somebody told me about this song when we return.
We can't go on together with suspicious minds.
95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk.
Build our dreams on suspicious minds.
So I realized that you probably shouldn't tell people, I'm going to tell you a funny story and go away. Because the story's never really going to match up. It's not the most hilarious story ever. It's just an awkward story about the song Suspicious Minds by Elvis Presley. So a buddy of mine, he's from Louisiana, and I lived in Louisiana. And he went to a wedding outside of Baton Rouge, out in the country, in the country of Louisiana. And some guys, no, there's only one guy who knows how to play guitar or something. So they said, hey, you play guitar and sing, so why don't you sing at the wedding? And once he started singing, they realized he only knew one song, so he sang it. Suspicious Minds.
Great way to kick off.
A great way to kick off your life together. All right, what do we have? English Nick up next?
Yeah.
Is that what we have? English Nick on tap? Like Guinness on tap? All right, let's do this.
Outrage Corner.
That's outrageous.
With English Nick.
English Nick.
English Nick.
Hey, it's funny you mentioned Guinness on tap, because when people realize they drink Guinness, they're like, you really are Irish. I'm like, no. I like the Irish beer.
You're not Irish, Nick.
No.
You're not Irish. I would say Irish, that isn't... Sure. I know that Guinness is Irish, and it's obviously uniquely Irish, but I think of it's just wildly popular in England.
Absolutely.
So I guess because I have in-laws that are English, maybe I associate Guinness with England more than Ireland, but it's a little bit of a mistake. You're not Irish, Nick, because we stopped paying that guy a long time ago. So
that's right.
I hope you're not still, this would be considered.
Oh, I'm destitute now, thanks for nothing.
You know, I got to say, you just didn't step up and deliver on the air. We had to let you go in favor of your cousin, English Nick.
His ratings were great on St. Patrick's Day, but that was about it.
That's about it. Yeah. It's one day a year. We'll bring you back one day a year, okay, Irish Nick? You just hang out there.
Fine, I'll drink myself to sleep every day till that
day. We used to pay him in Guinness. It actually was a good deal, but he just couldn't deliver. English Nick, are you still on lockdown, or as the city begins to reopen, are you back to, you know what I mean? Is you know, you're a virile young man, and
that's lockdown. Not happened. No one's
lockdown represented the longest. Am I right or am I wrong? So like the longest pause,
absolutely,
in your relations since you started having relations.
Yeah.
And let me ask you something. Do you find more clarity of mind, or are you just like, oh my god, my brain is, I need help. I need a girly.
No, I think the downtime does, like you say, give you clarity of mind, for sure. Yeah. You have more time to think about things and less birds.
More thoughts, less birds.
Yeah.
That's happened to me when I go off Twitter. The owner of a restaurant.
That's right.
Tea shop.
Dr. Bombay's.
Yeah, in Candler Park. Are you guys open again?
We have just taken delivery of our to-go window we're going to install. So we'll be able to do some to-go stuff here real soon, as soon as that gets installed.
Installing a window right there.
To-go window.
So, okay, so I'm slowly getting back to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And eventually the relations will follow. That's it. You know, you start with the takeout window, and eventually you start meeting people.
Sip on the tea, and before you know it. Yeah.
Yeah, somebody wants to sip with you.
There
right?
you go.
That's how people are. But I don't think I saw a thing where on dating websites. Yeah, I'm aging myself on the dating websites.
You mean like the Match and the Tinder and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, Kettle of Fish, whatever. Whatever
Silver Singles.
Shoot 'em in a barrel. Yeah.
Silver Dolls.
People are now posting that they have the antibodies and things like that. I hear it's the latest creepy thing you have to remember about men, and you know this, English Nick and Tim Andrews and Jared Yamamoto. I think Autumn is still somewhat blissfully unaware of how creepy men actually are.
Animals.
But, they're going to use anything they can. And I read an article that said that even in face-to-face, like, they're not even presenting papers. It's the new line that guys have. Oh, I got the antibodies. You want to come over? It's the new creep. Men will always invent a new way to be creepy.
Just get one of those thermal thermometers. You're good to go. Just take the temperature at the door. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's just like going to a baseball game.
Don't worry about that. At high temp, I'm hot for you.
Oh, yeah. See, girls don't actually have to be creepy, because a guy would just say, sure. Maybe I'll get it. What the hell?
I'll risk it.
Yeah, guy didn't care.
I'll risk it. All right, so what's in the outrage bin? You brought an outrage. I don't understand this. First of all, it's about Evel Knievel. Is it about the Evel Knievel dolls from the 70s?
Here's the deal. They have re-released. There's a new version of the Evel Knievel stunt cycle. I was so excited because I never had one as a kid. It was too expensive. I don't know. My dad just never bought us that. But It's for sale now. You can get it for $44.95. That's what outrages me. $45 for the plastic motorcycle. But
I don't know. What are other things going for? Like, I don't know. Like, if you get the Frozen Castle or something, what is that going
for?
Oh,
I don't know.
I imagine. It might seem outrageous. It may surprise you that just because they bring back a 70s toy, they're not going to bring it back with the 70s price.
No, I get that. But I would have thought more like $25, not $45.
Well, you know, because a lot of it's going to be appealing to probably people my age more than people who are young now who don't really even know who Evel Knievel is all that much. So it's almost, it's not a collectible, but it's going to be priced like something.
Oh, there's...
You know, like the way that, you know, when Kiss put the makeup back on in the early 2000s or late 90s and decided to go back out on tour like that, they made a bunch of money because people who were 14 or 15 and their parents told them they couldn't go to a Kiss concert were suddenly in their mid-30s or something, and they had the ability to, and they all went to their first Kiss concert. So this could be something like that where... Like you're saying, hey, Dad wouldn't buy me one. But can I tell you something? My parents did buy me an Evel Knievel. That summer that it was so big, when it was, I got that for Christmas that year. And no, we didn't have Christmas in the summer. You understand what I'm saying? When it was big, I got it for Christmas. And that was the first time in my life. I was probably 10 years old, 11. The first time in my life that I realized... What they sell you on TV isn't exactly necessarily what you're going to get when it's delivered.
Well, in the age of the modern, you know, smartphone, there's people who are posting videos of this thing and it actually works. They're jumping it through fire in their backyard. And I don't know. Yeah, well, there's a lot of videos out there. So maybe this is a step up.
The toy motorcycle technology has caught up to the hype of the 70s. Because on the commercials in the 70s, this Evel Knievel thing was zipping around. You think, oh, my God, if you don't go catch it, it'll go for 100 miles. And then you wind it up, it would go like a few feet, and it would just lay down.
Oh, the new commercial was like, when you want to make that four-foot jump, Evel Knievel is the man. So
I don't even know if people realized what a complete badass Evel Knievel was when I was 10 years old. It's hard to explain in this world. World, when there are so many outlets, so much stimuli, so much going on, people paid to go to movie theaters to watch him attempt to jump Snake River Canyon. Yeah. So, and people didn't even complain.
100,000 people showed up at Wembley Stadium in London to see him jump.
Yeah, and he crashed.
Yeah. But that was more than any soccer crowd ever.
I don't think it's possible for somebody who's 22 or 23 today to even understand what... And it turned out he was a dummy. You know, he went to jail in the late 70s because some guy wrote a book he didn't like about him, and he waited for him with a baseball bat and broke his legs. So, hey, man, can't you surreptitiously pay someone to do that? I mean, I'm not saying you should do that, but if it's going to be done, he's one of the most famous people in the world. He said, nah, I'll take care of this. Waits behind the side of a building with a baseball bat. And beats a guy up and goes to jail for it.
And he was jumping a bike that weighed a ton. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't one of these new trick dirt bike things.
He had the real thing. Yeah. He had the real thing. Greg Rust talks about this all the time. Robbie Knievel had a tricked out motorcycle. This was different. Evel would, I mean, I'm sure he'd mess with it a little bit, but this was basically motorcycles off the lot, and he's jumping double-decker buses with it. So it was a whole different thing. All right, so me, the outrage is still from the 70s when I was let down by that toy that I thought was going to change my life. But you have new outrages for the 2020s. What do you have?
Yeah, Attorney General Bill Barr is mad at Apple because they wouldn't unlock the suspected terrorist's iPhone.
Yeah, this is for what happened down in Florida.
That's right.
Pensacola, Florida.
That's correct.
This guy was, we were doing a sharing program and Saudi Arabian soldiers were down here. This guy turns out they got into the phone and they found out that, I'm sure Melanie, xenophobe, you think he's with Al-Qaeda because he went, turns out he was.
Yeah.
They found all kinds of messaging between him
right,
and Al-Qaeda
but like,
groups.
That doesn't mean that everybody who's from a Middle Eastern country is
But we
a
didn't
terrorist.
Say that. We didn't say that. Nobody said that it means everybody from a Middle Eastern country.
Yeah, but
you
like
said
that's
that.
How it started.
No, probably. That's how you took it. No, probably. But you didn't really know. This is what you felt.
Well, you didn't really know either, though.
So. you're off the hook. So here's the thing. And I know people like to get mad at Apple. There's nothing... Apple actually... I'm gonna be on the side of Apple on this one. People don't know what this kind of technology is. They think it's a very simple thing. Well, Apple should have like this special key, and they give it in situations like this. In a perfect world, when you think somebody may be involved with terrorism, and it's important with terrorists. You want to know who they're talking to, because they didn't go home after this one. They're planning something new, and you want to find out who they are, and that's understandable. So most people who don't know anything about technology just say, well, there should be this secret key, this little thing that can be opened up when necessary. But it doesn't work that way. It's not possible to do it that way. Something that is a little bit open, information wants to be free. You see it all the time. Guess what? When you're some company that you used your credit card for, they don't want your information to be stolen and have to deal with that. But it happens because there are people constantly looking for any weakness inside of these things. If you have a special key, which doesn't exist, all you do is you create a weakness, and it will be found and it will be exploited all the time. And so in order to make it available to just the FBI and the CIA, you make it available to the world, which means no phone is actually protected or safe. That's the way that it works. That's the world you live in. I just said it. I'll say it again. That's the world you live in. It doesn't matter what you think about that. Let me say it again. That's the world you live in. Apple cooperates with the FBI and the CIA in every way that they can, in all kinds of ways. I think I'm not one of these Bob Barr bashers. I think the FBI has been out of control. CIA, I think he's a good man. I think he's 70-something and maybe doesn't quite understand how technology is. We have a problem with this. A lot of people who are politicians don't really understand how this works. It is not possible for Apple to make a little secret key for law enforcement that no one else will ever get. And you really know that, even though you haven't thought about it, because you know when your credit card information was compromised, that company didn't want it to happen. They thought that they were locked down. If you open it up, you open it up to the world, it will be found, and there will be no safety or privacy guaranteed on any Apple phone. So this is what you have to do. You have to argue for that. That's what Eric Von Hessler is telling you. What you have to argue for is you have to say terrorism is so important and such a threat that no phone should be fully locked down ever. Now, I would disagree with you, but you would then be making an honest argument about how this can be done. Don't fall for the law enforcement should have a secret key. That doesn't exist. It might get you to vote for somebody who wants to get reelected, though, and that's the point. All right, English Nick here. Prince Charles.
Oh, yeah, he's Prince Charles.
He's getting some pushback online. What is he telling?
There's a campaign. There's a campaign going on in the UK to pick for Britain. They want people to volunteer to come out and pick fruit and do the harvest all the way up through the fall. So he made a video about it, and then people were like, well, why don't you get off your
behind and do it? Yeah, when's the royal family? Let's hear a little bit of Prince Charles.
The food and farming sector is no exception. If we are to harvest British fruit and vegetables this year, we need an army of people to help. Food does not happen by magic. Oh. It all begins...
Is that true? I didn't know that. You learned. That's why we have the royal family. You're telling me food doesn't happen by magic.
Yeah, you can't pull it out of your...
Only at Hogwarts, where you can make your own food with your wand. But muggles need to go out into the fields and pick all the fruits.
With our remarkable farmers and growers. If the last few weeks have proved anything, it is that food is precious and valued, and it cannot be taken for granted. This is why that great movement of the Second World War, the Land Army, is...
Okay, I've had enough, but he's going to tell people, he tells you need to pick for Britain.
Yeah, that's what they're calling it, yeah.
It doesn't mean pick your nose. You say go out and pick...
Don't do that. You'll spread the COVID. Someone who's had it, I need you to go out there and pick the strawberries.
I love the tweet where the guy said, I couldn't do it. It would be agony from my back.
Yeah, and also...
Bending so much.
Again, it's still a thing. You know, you got to give it to Jimmy Carter. Even when he was in his 80s, you'd see him hammering a few nails when he was doing the habitat stuff. You know, go out there and pick a few. You don't have to be out there all day as an old man, but just get some footage picking. Instead, he's just like this landowner. Now, the rest of you little people, get out there and pick for Britain. Well, you know who my pick for Britain is? English Nick. And I thank you very much. English Pick, thank you for being here. and spreading your loveliness.
Happy we'll to pick to you for soon. You. Happy to pick for you.
Hour two of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins right now. I'm here to report that this show has officially become a sausage fest. Autumn Fisher not feeling so good. And a lot of people may not know this about me, but I am a benevolent dictator. And so I decided to allow her to go. She couldn't quite identify what it was. Yeah, I asked one question that was very important. Yes, I asked one question, and that was, do you have a dry, persistent cough? She said, no. And I said, well, okay, well, you just go ahead and go lay down, which is kind of weird because she's where she does the show, she's kind of in her closet, and she keeps the door open, and you can see the bed out there behind her. And it's kind of a weird way to leave work. She only walks like 6 feet to lay down in the bed.
It's kind of weird that she leaves. It's kind of weird that she leaves the camera on too during the process. You know, like
yeah,
I mean, even though she's on, we can see everything.
I don't think
that's a side hustle.
Hey, I don't think she realizes. Shh, man, don't ruin it. All right, so she will not be here. I have Jared Yamamoto. A question for you.
Yes.
So when we, because we're still doing the show from our homes, and we have a Google Hangout going. We can talk to each other during the breaks. And you will walk away quite often and you go, BRB.
Yeah.
Which, be right back.
Correct.
Now here's, okay, this it's one thing, I suppose, if you're texting somebody, maybe you save a little time. How much time are you saving saying out loud BRB as opposed to be right back?
It seems it's like just part of the lingo now.
Same syllables.
So what you're basically saying is, if everyone else is participating in the dumbing down of America, well, I want to be part of that because I'm part of my generation, and that's one of the things we're going to be known for.
Sure, exclamation point.
BRB. It's the same. Be right back. BRB. Somebody time me. BRB. Be right back.
No difference.
These things will get lost over time, and people eventually will just be grunting at one another. We will have gone full circle from caveman all the way through Shakespeare back to caveman.
Man, BRB.
Well, that's why we have the emojis now, as the emojis help us express how we feel.
I know, but you can't use an emoji when you're speaking to me. So instead, you're just going to have the grunt emoji.
Smiley face, Eric.
Yes. Why don't you just smile? Wouldn't that be better?
See, I've got my little sticky notes here. I can tell you.
Holding up an emoji. All right. I'm disgusted. I'm really glad. You know, I will be, have I mentioned that I'm going to be 56 next Tuesday? It doesn't bother me. I keep mentioning it because it doesn't bother me. And, you'd think that I would wish that I was 25. And maybe in some sort of alternate universe, I would wish that I was 25. But I have to say, I don't want to be 25 or 30 now. I would not want to be a part of this generation. I'm not being stupid here. Anybody would rather be, I'd rather be young and doing my thing, but not in this generation. It strikes me as just a complete, devoid of anything real. Everything's shortcuts. The music is awful. It's all shortcuts. It's all stuff. It's all stuff that happens in the background while you experience life. Anyway, I'm going on a rant. But the point is, and the most important point here is, it doesn't bother me at all that I'm going to turn 56 on Tuesday. All right, let's do this.
It's time for studies, surveys, and polls on the Von Hessler Doctrine.
I believe we tried to do this yesterday, and we get through one.
Yeah, you got upset with some of the listeners.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, was I upset? I'm not upset at anybody. I love everybody, even the kids. Right? I love everybody. I don't think I think I probably had a little back and forth, a little to and fro with the listeners is what happened. And so we still had this, and we're getting to the point where we're almost getting lazy because we have next week off. So we thought, what the hell? We still got
what's your birthday week?
Surveys.
Yeah.
It's my birthday week. Yeah, I'm like a girl. I get an entire week. So what do you, and by the way, that birthday that you mentioned next week?
Yeah.
Doesn't bother me at all. Does not bother me at all. All right, so what kind of studies, surveys, and or polls do you have?
How about we start with a poll? Does that sound okay?
Sounds okay to me. How about you, Tim? You in a poll? You in a polling mood? All right,
I'm always in a mood for a good poll.
Who does? Who isn't?
This first poll comes from Quinnipiac University, and they say that Joe Biden is leading Donald Trump by 11 points in a new national poll. So, Donald Trump, you're not doing too well, man. A lot of people are upset with your coronavirus.
Before we go to Donald Trump, let's go to the guy who's leading. Huh? Look at that. You're leading the polls. How do you feel?
Look. The scale
of the loss is staggering. I don't know whose phone that is, but the scale of the loss is staggering.
It must be a pollster. Who am I going to vote for?
Biden. You're voting for Biden. Polls don't really mean a whole lot right now, but I think the best thing for Biden has been that he hasn't been able to go out.
Yeah,
he's one of these
absolutely.
People. The less you see of him, and people get annoyed with the current. People always want something different, right? So the less you see of Biden, actually, the better he has done. So, because if you think about it, he could be making some appearances. Right? The president is making some appearances. There's no reason that Joe Biden can't go tour a factory floor, right? They could social distance it out. He would wear a mask to show the whole directive of his campaign is, I'm not Trump. So he could do everything Trump doesn't do. He could wear a mask and say, well, hey, look, you want a president who wears a mask when he tours a factory? Well, I'm your guy, right? Because I can't think of it.
Science, pal.
He could be the I believe in science touring the factory thing, but I think his people know that he's better off where he is, because we make fun of the weird podcast stuff and the stuff from the basement. Truth is, most people don't see it. He's kind of out of sight, out of mind, and that helps, because people always want to change. That's the beauty of the country, and sometimes the detriment. And so if you don't see the other person, you know, continually making gaffes out there doing things, and I think it helps him. Also, obviously, the economy, because of COVID, there were an awful lot of people who didn't necessarily dig Trump's personality, but the economy was flying high. And so there were a lot of people who were going to be, you know what, he kind of annoys me, but, you know, my friend has a job. He didn't have a job before. I'm making more money. That's the kind of thing people tend to vote their pocketbooks first. Does anybody still have a pocketbook? That's an old saying.
I do.
people vote their wallets.
It's a satchel. Thank you very much.
So I think that right now events are kind of working in his favor. He has an excuse to not be seen, and Trump has to deal with what the economy has become and deal with, you know, all of the, there's going to be a lot of people. A lot of people think he's done it right. A lot of people think he's done it wrong dealing with the COVID. But Biden can just be there like some sort of shadow. Hey, I could be president. I don't know what his point is. I challenge anybody who's going to vote for Joe Biden. I'd like to find three people in the country who are going to vote for Joe Biden for any reason other than he's not Donald Trump. Like, you can laugh at hope and change as Obama's thing, but quite often simple messages, you know, build that wall. That's a simple message. Simple messages get through to people, and hope and change made sense after all, you know, the wars and the terrorism and the things and then the economy, and that made sense to people. Joe Biden, what is the driving purpose of his campaign? What is the reason that he believes he should be president? It comes down to one thing. I'm not Trump. So that's his only reason for wanting to be president, not being seen and allowing Trump to deal with a failing economy based on what happened with the COVID is the best place for him. It doesn't surprise me that his numbers go up.
And Joe, you've got a really clever yard sign that's coming up around my neighborhood, especially where it's Biden, but it says B-Y-E, buy, and then Don, D-O-N. So you're getting clever with things out there, buy Don.
Yeah, look, buddy, look, if you're going to have a sign in your yard, make sure it's clever, punny.
And that, you know, that's a great yard sign. It makes my point. You know, you go back to Ronald Reagan. You could have hated Ronald Reagan. You could have loved Ronald Reagan, whatever it was. This is what I know about Ronald Reagan. In the late 40s and early 50s, he was talking about how much he hated communism and the Soviet Union. And then in 1981, he became president. And a year after he left office, the Soviet Union collapsed. That's a person who was driven by one major thing for for decades, became president, actually did something about it. Ronald Reagan didn't run because he wasn't Carter. That was part of the appeal, but he stood for something. What does Joe Biden stand for? Let's get back to the way it was before this orange guy. So that's a good yard sign. It really does sum it up. And I'm not so sure it's not a winning message right now. That was a weird conversation we just had off the air. I don't like to talk about race, but it's just, I just, you know, all of this stuff that goes on. Well, how come? And the reason is because people own slaves in this country. That's why. You want to blame somebody? Blame the idiots who owned people in this country. I have no time for, well, how come another video that shows a white guy? I'll tell you why. Because idiots own slaves in this country. That's why. You want to blame people? Blame the people who put the original stain on the country. They were idiots. What, they thought this was going to go on till the year 2500? Morons. You know, and here's the deal. If you go back to Egypt times or Roman times, it was so prevalent that maybe you can let people off the hook for some kind of weird, oh, people just thought that's the way it was. By the time slavery got to America, it had been rejected in many places around the world. There was a great amount of Western thought that said that it was wrong, and people were just stubborn and idiots. And so whenever you get into this thing about, well, how come this doesn't get covered the way that gets covered, don't blame the idiots who came up with this stain. It was idiotic. Can you really believe that people, oh, this will go on forever. Yes, in the year 35,000, they'll still be, come on. So put blame where it belongs. It belongs with the idiots who decided they could own other people in a time on the planet Earth where there was a great deal of thought in the Western world that that was wrong. Like, I still don't let the Romans or the Egyptians off the hook. I think it's a pretty obvious thing. But if you go back that far, it was so prevalent that maybe people thought that that's the way it was supposed to be. But not by the time it got to America. Okay, I don't talk about race on this country, on this show, but that's when I'm... That's what I'm saying. Blame all of these problems on the people who caused the problems. The idiots that put the stain on the country in the beginning. There were plenty of founders. Ben Franklin didn't own slaves. There were plenty of people in the country that knew it was wrong. And you had idiots. Oh, this is a lifestyle. It's going to last forever. Well, that means you're an idiot. You can't see the future. These people didn't see the telephone coming. I don't know. Morons. Some people probably saw the telephone company coming, but these people didn't. They're morons. I'm sorry. If that offends you, I don't understand why it would. Because, man, what a great country we'd have if that was never there. What a great country we would have right now if we did not have that in our history. We would be absolutely unstoppable. So if you want to blame, even in the modern age, the way things are, blame the people who put the stain there. The idiots who decided, yeah, it's our rail, we can own other people. I mean, how do you even think like that? It's beyond my understanding. So that's it. That's the end of race talk on this show. It makes me, I just don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like listening to people. I don't like listening to white people talk about race. I don't like anybody talking about race. It annoys the hell out of me. I wish we could get past it and just everybody understand there are cool people and there are jerks, and that's the breakdown. In my understanding of humanity, that's the breakdown. There's cool people and there's jerks. And the reason we have this other stuff and this hangover is because of the idiots who put the stain on there first. They're long gone. We can't yell at them, but they're still responsible. All right, what are we doing? What do you have next?
Can you handle another political poll, Eric?
I can handle another political poll. Yes, I can.
Okay.
Although, this one hold on, just a moment. Wait a minute. Is the last one? Okay. All right. That means
what?
Been removed. Okay. Go ahead.
All right. This one comes from Gallup, and they say that Democrats are more worried and lonely and less happy than Republicans are during this quarantine lockdown.
It doesn't necessarily surprise me. You have to understand now. Is it Democrats or is it left or right? You know. Not all Democrats, but there's some things on the left, especially if you're young, because I was on the left when I was younger. You take on every misery of the world on your shoulders, you know? There's a bumper sticker that, I don't know, used to be around. Was so long as one is imprisoned or something, none of us are free. Well, guess what? You're not going to be free at any point in your life, because there are going to be people who are prisoners of conscience the day you die. I have said this is the world that we live in. So what you need to be able to do is come up with a worldview that allows you to carve out a little bit of happiness, and then you do what you can, right? You leave the campground a little cleaner than you found it. You're not going to change the whole world. The day you die, if it's tomorrow or 100 years from now, there will be people, innocent prisoners of conscience, that are held. And if you can't feel free until that goes away, you'll never feel free. I mean, that's a very, I'm going down to the bottom of it all and the premise there, but that's what it is. So Republicans feel like, you know, I give to my charities and I do this and my grandkids are nice and, you know, we'll do what we can. We're generalizing here, as this poll is doing. Every poll is generalized. I think you taught me that, Tim Andrews. Every poll generalized.
You know, there is one, seen them all.
Yeah. Yes.
There is one thing that Democrats and Republicans both equally agree on, guys. They're both go ahead.
Yes. Go ahead.
They're both equally bored during quarantine. About 40% of them answered that they're both bored.
Let me tell you what my mom used to say to me. I used to say, "Mom, I'm bored." She'd say, "No, you're not bored. You're just unimaginative. Man, this world's not boring. The problem is you keep watching the same shows on your screens over and over again, and you don't recognize that that's not going to do it. Do something else. Think of something else. Write a play, for heaven's sakes. Do something with this time." That's right. Nice to be back. Do we have Wes Moss on
deck? We sure do. Yeah. There
are lots of things to talk to Wes Moss about. So why don't we just go ahead and do this.
What's the market doing with Money Matters, Wes Moss?
How are you this morning, Wes Moss?
I'm great. I am great.
Yeah.
Good to be here.
It's a lot of story. Jared, what was the study we didn't get to, which I thought was funny? Drudge put this in as a couple days ago, and he called it a shock poll. I don't find anything shocking about it. But what was that, Jared? What was that shock poll, supposedly?
82% of Americans want more stimulus checks.
Okay, so to me, the shock poll would be 82% of Americans say, "Nah, don't give me free money." Is there anything shocking that human beings would like the idea of free money? I was talking to my son about this the other day. A lot of people think that libertarians like me and fiscal conservatives, that we think that we're talking people down. There's nothing evil about it. It's basic human behavior. If you get more money to stay home than go to work, you can just, the tables work themselves out. The ledger works. You know what's going to happen. People do what they think is reasonably the best thing for them now, usually. So it's not shocking that once you start giving money away, people will be like, "Yeah, I'll take more," right?
Let me just make a comment about this. I've been thinking a lot about this, and I know that you and I have been talking about all the different enhancements and then all the debt that's created. And it struck me, looking at where we're headed for the election in 2020, looking at politics and what that means for the economy, it's amazing. I think if we look at all these temporary provisions that are so significant, so think about the CARES Act, which there are multiple layers of stimulus. There's stimulus checks, there's the pandemic unemployment insurance, there's the $600 extra per week, there's the PPP loans that are still money available. And there's even non-congressional pieces of the equation, like the hero pay that you talked about yesterday, where frontline workers are getting paid more today. And if you look at where we are, if we're headed in this election, a lot of that it's all supposed to be temporary, I think much of that could become permanent if you get a Democratic sweep.
Well, exactly. I mean, because the Democrats are going to, not to beat up on the Democrats, but that's going to be their point of view going into the election. And it's easier to win elections by telling people, if you vote for me, I'll keep that money coming. I mean, that's just basic. It's not difficult to understand that. You don't have to demonize anybody. It's supposed to be, I was saying this to my son yesterday, as an adult, it's the adult's job to tell the child, no, you can't have that third bowl of ice cream, because the adult's supposed to know it's going to end up in vomiting. You don't expect the kid to know it's going to end up in vomiting. So, I mean, that's not a very good analogy, but it gets the point across, which is that when it comes to setting policy, you have to try to set the policy that you think is going to work for most people most of the time. And what works for most people most of the time is the best economy possible. And from my point of view, just giving away free money may feel good at first, like that third bowl of ice cream, but what you're going to do, you're going to open that freezer and find out there's no more ice cream for a good long time. And I will say this, Wes, I said this before, I think you have to look, the AOCs and the Bernie Sanders, I think that they have a right to be somewhat celebratory right now. There's a Los Angeles Times headline. This is the headline: free money amid the coronavirus, a monthly paycheck from the feds doesn't seem crazy. That's a conversation starter. That's
you know what?
Go ahead.
Yeah, one thing that I think that it's funny, we're even seeing our own Republican governor do this, which I think is actually a pretty smart move, because you've got this, it's really kind of a conflict of interest. You're giving people all this extra money that to go back to work means that they will go from, you know, again, a lot of the folks that are getting the extra $600 a week plus the state employment benefits, you're talking about making $23 to $25 per hour. So to go back to a $12 an hour job, it's kind of like, well, why would I do that? What's interesting about what Kemp is trying to do is kind of bridging those two together, saying that you can keep some of your unemployment assistance almost as a bonus for several weeks while you go back. And I think it's actually kind of a smart way for a lot of governors to approach getting people
to make
that decision.
I'm politically, you're right. But what I'm saying, that makes the point even more. If AOC and Bernie Sanders, if Bernie Sanders can't become president, it's a foot in the door. If it becomes, the conversation over the last two runs of Bernie Sanders has led to the point where a Republican governor in the South will say, well, maybe not all, but I'll let you keep some of it. And then that's the beginning. And then when you get to two or three or four years down the line, well, now, hey, what about cost of living? That has to go. You know how this works. At first, it has to be accepted by an awful lot of people. I would say it's probably not the perfect analog, but remember in the 70s when England experimented with the dole. Basically, when you graduated from their version of high school, it's like the government just gave you money for a couple of years. Now, we got punk rock out of it. We got the Sex Pistols out of it, so it wasn't like we didn't get anything out of it. But surprise, surprise, 19-year-olds just sat down and did nothing until the dole ran out, right?
Well, again, it's a perfect example, too. One of my favorite lines in the study of economics is very simple, and it almost sums up the entire philosophy, and that is people respond to incentives. And it's really not necessarily the fault of a 19-year-old saying, hey, why would I go back to work and make 12 bucks an hour when I'm making 20 on unemployment? But I think that if you think, and this is what I'm looking at today, and this is something, again, that continues to not be celebrated, by the way, Eric, is that because the media has still not celebrated the progress we have seen on containing the virus, bending the curve, and now being able to have capacity in the hospitals and going back to work. Today is a really big day, because today is the first day that all the real statewide lockdowns that we did see, and by the way, not every single state was totally locked down, but today's the first day where those are over. And now you still have localities, and you have still some industries that are still closed, like bars and nightclubs. But today, we're open for business in America. It doesn't mean we're totally back to normal. And the reproduction rate, I've been looking at we keep talking about Georgia is a really interesting first mover. Germany and Georgia. Well, I'm actually looking at those reproduction rates, or the R-naughts. Actually, it's a RT ratio, which is per state. It's a more real-time number.
Now, you got to explain that again. You got to explain what that is again, the R-naught, the RT. Explain what that is again.
The R-naught or the RT, there are two different measures that basically say is the virus – a measure over one means the virus is expanding exponentially. An R-naught or reproduction rate under one means that for every person that has it, they're giving it to less than one person. They're spreading it to less than one.
So
that means
declining.
If you have a sustained rate, it goes away over time. And we have four, this is amazing to me, 48. Now, there's been huge progress in the last 4 weeks, though. 48 states in the nation, 48 out of 50 have declining or have sub one R-naught rates, meaning that where we stand today because of testing. And here's the other point is that I know we need a vaccine. We want a vaccine. We're working towards a vaccine. I believe we'll get one. And I believe we'll get one. And I don't think it's going to take years. There's the bear case out there that is still saying it's still going to take forever. I don't buy into that. But even more importantly, we've made so much progress with testing and PPE, personal protective equipment, and states saying, look, we don't need to do broad lockdowns anymore. Even if we have hotspots, we might have to do a micro shutdown in a location. But A, I don't think we're going to see broad shutdowns again, number one. And two, we've made progress in 48 out of 50 states. We have a declining virus count, which is super important. And that just doesn't get a lot of coverage.
Well, you know, and it's interesting that it doesn't, because for all the, you know, this has been knocked down into you believe in science or you don't. And it's all because everything is one or the other. But this was, we were sold the flattening the curve, and the word mitigation was there. And what you, honestly, if it wasn't about something else, and I don't want to go to conspiracy theories, but really this should be celebrated, right? We mitigated. It looks like that was successful in the sense that we flattened the curve. What does flatten the curve mean? What it meant was that the hospitals and healthcare workers and all the equipment can handle the amount of new COVID-19 cases that they have to deal with. And you would think if there wasn't some other weird reason for constantly pouring on the negative, the people that hey, we're the science people would be taking a victory lap. Look, we mitigated and we have this success, but still we don't get that. We get these headlines, I don't mean to blame millennials, it's just the kind of reporting that goes on. I see it yesterday, a couple of headlines that are kind of like, we're never going to have a vaccine for COVID-19, and here's why. I never click those. But, I mean, there's an awful lot of... Does this person, the person who wrote that story that I didn't click on, do they really know for a fact that we'll never have a vaccine? No, but they know for a fact that that's going to get clicked on a lot more than, hey, things are looking better today than yesterday. No one's going to click on that.
You know, and I've seen news anchors argue with doctors and saying, aren't we rushing this? Aren't we irresponsibly rushing this vaccine and it's going to make the virus worse? I've heard anchors say we're going to end up with a Franken virus because of all the different rushing the vaccines. And it's amazing to me that we get a COVID-19 vaccine. And by the way, of the 100 candidates that are getting followed by the Milken Institute, about 15 of them, by the way, have a really good shot at working. We're going to probably end up with 3 to 4 different viable vaccines, which is amazing. And by the way,
I gotta say this though, Wes, one's gonna be liked by Trump and one's gonna be liked by Biden. Yeah. It'll be politicized. And I got the smart vaccine, not the dumb Trump vaccine. That's where that's gonna go. But it's better to have that problem than not having any at all. I agree with that.
Right. And again, think about that. That would be one of the greatest innovations economically in our lifetime. And the thought that people are rooting against it is really, actually, it's really sad.
You know, if I was on one of those panels, one of these shows where they started arguing with doctors, I would just ask the anchor, whoever was running the panel, where did you get your degree in epidemiology? I didn't see that in your resume. What exactly makes you, everybody you have cocktails with agrees with you. That's your degree. Okay, I understand. Back with more with Wes Moss.
Your safety is our concern, so we've socially distanced the fun. Eric Von Hessler, weekday mornings at 9, and Mark Arum, weekday evenings at 6. Coronavirus information when you want it, and laughter when you don't. On 95.5 WSB.
All right, Wes Moss, do not have a lot of time. Here's another thing I want to throw at you, another headline. This is another thing that's going around. Because the national media only knows how to report things, good guys, bad guys. It's the only thing that they understand. It's all Dickensian. You're either Scrooge or you're Bob Cratchit. That's the only way they know how to. So Trump's vaccine czar has vast ties to drug industry, posing possible conflicts. I want a person, whether or not I'm for a vaccine czar is a whole other thing. If there's going to be a vaccine czar, I want somebody who has spent their adult life in the pharmaceutical industry who knows what the hell he's doing. This is not necessary. These people have such a reliance on government workers. You think Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton are going to whip up a batch of vaccine in their basement somewhere? Who else? I want somebody. We need it now. We need it quick. Hey, let's go get some inexperienced government workers who have never had any connection to pharmaceutical companies. Maybe they can get the job done. Very quickly.
Well, of
your
course.
Thoughts.
Of course. 100% right. It is. He is from GlaxoSmithKline, is the lead virologist. Who else do you want? Do we want Nancy Pelosi in charge of finding
Yeah, she's
a
down
vaccine?
There. Yeah, she's whipping up a batch of vaccine.
Nancy, start some more.
All right. Wes Moss is the host of Money Matters right here Sunday mornings, 9 to 11. Great show. Great person. And we will speak to you again tomorrow morning. Thanks, Wes.
Thanks. Thanks, everyone.
Hour 3 of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins right now. Oh, here's another headline. These headlines, you read like one paragraph in. You know, the headline's full of it. It's not the headline at all. Coronavirus could soon be tested by sneezing onto your phone. Well, that would be gross. Even if you could detect the coronavirus, you want to walk around, hey, you want to borrow my phone? No, not really. No, you're testing the corona. Sneezing on your phone. What a great idea. But then that's the headline. Coronavirus could soon be tested by sneezing onto your phone. Here's the story. A U.S.-based research team are developing a sensor that attaches to a phone and can tell a user if they're infected within 60 seconds. Basically, you take one drop of saliva, you put it on the sensor that is attached to the phone, and maybe it'll work. It'd be kind of cool if it did work. You could test yourself constantly, I suppose, if it did work. And then because of the molecular structure of the whole thing, it kills it. It actually kills it, and then you can keep reusing it. But you know what's not going on there? You're not testing for coronavirus by sneezing onto your phone. Great headline. Just doesn't turn out to be anything like what actually happens.
There's also works via Bluetooth, too. Have you read on the article? It's pretty cool.
Well, that's because, the whole thing is cool, but you're not sneezing onto the screen of your phone several times a day. That would be rather gross.
You can also check for colon cancer with your phone and do much of a similar way.
Yeah, but I can't fit it. Oh, I see what you're saying. You don't have to use the whole thing.
No.
No pain, no gain. I thought that's what you were saying. So here's a headline that I do believe, but it surprises me that you, dear listener, have to be told this. Before I read this headline, why are you still believing anything that you see on social media? That's not a joke, and I'm not being sarcastic. I'm asking you a damn question. After 2016, if you're over the age of 17 years of age, it's just a straight-up hard question. Why the hell are you? I'm looking at you on the left. I'm looking at you on the right. Why in the hell are you believing anything that you read about politics, about coronavirus? My goodness, why in the hell are you believing anything that you read on social media? Why have you pushed like even once since 2016 about something that you believe because you've read it on social media? I mean, your favorite host has to ask you, are you a moron? How many times do you have to learn the same lesson? So again, why in the hell are you believing anything that you read on social media? Researchers here say nearly half of accounts tweeting about coronavirus are likely bots. We don't know which state actor it is, but it's a state actor. They don't like the concept of democracy. Do you want to really hear what's going on? I don't want to tear up the fun you're having in your political amusement park. But social media is being used because the people, the state-sponsored actors who use it, don't really care what you think. They want you to believe that you are on one side and the other side is evil. Their job is to sow division. How come you don't know that yet? When you're on the left and you push like because you believe what you read, or on the right, how come you don't know that yet? Why do you need to be told this? Why is this even news? Why don't you look at social media and say, well, yes, of course, there are forces out there, and it's the same force. It's the same state. Once you find it, once you figure out where it's coming from, it's not going to be a democracy. It's not going to be a constitutional republic. What they'd like to do is convince you that democracy and constitutional republics don't work because your voice will never be represented. So once they find out what state is sponsoring this, I'm going to tell you what I know. They're going to find out that the same state is sending you the message on the left that you hit like on, big scary orange man. And they're sending the same state-sponsored bots are sending the message to you on the right, you know, whatever feeds your thing, you know, deep state. It's coming from the same place. Orange man, deep state. What I know is that once they find the state that's sponsoring it, they're going to find it's not two different states with two different messages. It's the same state. Because they don't care how you vote. And they don't care what you think. What they want is to sow division. Why are you allowing them to still do that? I may sound arrogant. I'm not allowing them to do that to me. They can't get to me. I don't believe anything I see on social media. As a matter of fact, I don't get that far. I don't see anything on social media. But guess what? Even if you're not, if you're watching a 24-hour news thing, I'll bet you see that little Tweety Bird a lot of time and this said that. And oh, look. How much reporting these days is a headline, a paragraph, and then a long line of what people are saying online? How come you don't know yet what's going on? It went on yesterday, it's going on today, and it's going to go on tomorrow. And if you live politically online, it's coming at you all the time. It came at you in your feed yesterday. It's in your feed right now, and it will be in your feed tomorrow. How many examples do you need? How come you don't know this? I'll tell you why. You're having too much fun in your political amusement park. Man, let's ride that deep state ride again. It's so much fun. Can we get back on the Orange Man ride? Well, of course you can. And we'll keep providing the same ride with a little bit of a different look so you can keep jumping on and riding. And the people who are the carnies don't care how you vote or what you think. So long as they sow the division that makes you suspicious of each other and hate each other. And my question again is, how come you don't know this? It's just a question. It's just a question. This is not news to me, and we're in a sorry state of affairs if it's news to you. All right, give me a different headline so I can come down off my high horse.
Let's come back to Georgia. Let's leave the social media behind and come back to Georgia, where the driving road tests for new drivers have started back up. But there's going to be new changes with all the social distancing that we're having to do in our...
Yeah, it's basically, this is one of those things where they're going to do something that's impossible, but they're just going to do it anyways, which is a driving test that incorporates social distancing, because you can't have a backlog, right, that goes on for 6 months and then have to test everybody. I understand that.
Right.
Everybody,
right,
by the way, everybody's... it's Eric, Governor Kemp.
Thank you.
And by the way, everybody's going to pass everything in this lockdown time. Everybody's going to pass high school. Everybody's going to pass college. Everybody's going to pass their driving test. I don't know if there's any other way to do it, because you could always lodge a complaint and say, what, are you kidding me? The lockdown was going on. You expect, okay, you pass. So how does the social do we have a Mark Ailewine package on this?
The wonderful Mark Ailewine caught up with some folks and talked about just this very thing.
Changes to the exam include no on-the-road driving, and for social distancing, examiners will give verbal commands from outside the test taker's vehicle. This teen tells Channel 2 Action News.
I'm kind of glad it's modified to be a little bit easier.
When the test was suspended by the governor in April and May, nearly 20,000 teenagers got their licenses. They now have until the end of September to take the test.
I salute, first of all, Mark Edelwine for his great reporting, but I salute that teenager because teenagers will still be honest with you. And the fact of the matter is, teenagers like it when it's easier.
I'm kind of glad it's modified to be a little bit easier.
Thank you. Thank you for being truthful. Because I don't know what it is. People forget what it was like being a teenager. Like, oh, you have people say, oh, children don't lie. They don't? I did, constantly. I don't lie as an adult, but as a kid, from the time that I knew how to speak till the time I was about 19 and had a little talk with myself, I lied all the time. Kids lie all the time. Kids want the easy way out all the time. And so don't look, this is hey, we hear a lot of stuff about, oh, isn't it an awful time to be graduating and this year and they don't get to go through all that. Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. But the other side of it is everybody's passing everything that happens within the last 3 months and the next 3 months. That's just the way that it is. So there's some bad, but there's also some good. And if you're a teenager, there's almost nothing better than hearing that something is canceled or it's going to be an open book test or just any sort of knowledge that says this is going to be easier. So the reason it's being enjoyed and liked is because it's easier. Let's not pretend it's not easier. We're doing it, right? Yeah. The guy's going to stand outside the car. It's a traffic test, no traffic. Yeah, you passed. Move on.
SB Radio app.
I believe that we have an open mic concerning the last story that we did about the teenagers taking the socially distanced driving test, which make no sense. The guy's not even in the car, and you're not in traffic. But okay, we'll just let
this
it slide.
Is from the,
everybody
this
passes. This guy's not a fan of Governor Kemp. Governor Kemp, this guy is not a fan. I'm going to warn you.
All
this
right, guy's, Scott.
It's Eric, but this guy's not a fan. All right, go ahead.
This comes from the WSB radio app.
The new driving test, on top of all the dumbest stuff I've ever heard in the last 3 months, this is another one that's even dumber. Thanks a lot, Governor Kemp. You're an idiot.
Now, hold on. Let me stand. I will defend the governor here.
Look, Eric Erickson, I don't need you to defend me.
No, I don't.
Real easy solution to this before you go on there. I'd like to challenge this guy. Well, let me just say, let the pen settle it.
Are you challenging?
We're gonna have a bowl off. I'll have Dr. Toomey, and that guy can find whoever he wants. He can bring his own lady. We'll do three games. Most pins knocked down wins.
I know that
I'm
you're
not
really
scared.
You're really into bowling. I understand that. I get it. So what I'll say is, we already have 20,000 in the backlog, right? You can't just keep holding this up until we get past all social distancing. And then what would you be dealing with? If it's already 20,000, then you're going to be dealing with what? 60, 54? I don't know. If it's 40,000, if it only just doubles, which I can't imagine it wouldn't be more than that, you cannot create this backlog, all right? So here's a concept. Hey, parents, get involved. Teach your kids how to drive. I mean, God forbid you don't just leave it, just lay it all on the doorstep of the government. I know that's the way that you feel you should, but I got an idea. Once again, hey, parents, get involved. Teach your kids how to drive. Understand that your kids, the test that they got isn't about just a green light. You have to be an adult and understand they didn't really take the test. So you have to get involved, maybe a little more than you would normally for the first 6 months or so that your kid is out there driving on the roads. Perhaps be the assistant for a little bit longer. That's all. It's called parenting. You signed up for it, right? You
do. Oh, I'm busy. Oh, yeah.
Are you busy? I know. Yeah. I know. You're binging
working
on
from home. Kids are here all day. I can't. Well, I'm not allowed to drive.
Okay, I know. You're busy. It's too much for you. So that's what I would say. Yeah, we're in a situation here where there aren't a lot of good choices, and they're doing what they can, but it's not much. And again, as I said before, everybody's going to pass everything. for the 3 months behind us and at least 3 months in front of us, everybody's going to pass everything. You got another story?
Yes, this is from L.A.-based clothing company brand Kenova, and they're honoring New York.
Can you read? I don't know this company either, but I think it's Kenava. It's C-A-N-A-V-A, so I think it's Kenova.
I figure Kenava was too Southern if I said it like that. You know, it's L.A.-based.
Maybe it's Kenava.
Kenava.
Wait a minute. L.A.-based. There we go. I think we've got it. It's Kenava.
Yeah. Kenava. And this clothing brand is honoring New York Governor Cuomo, California Governor Newsom, and Dr. Fauci with a new line of women's panties displaying their names fondly on the front.
Really?
I like it.
Fauci, you got your own... You've got your own panties.
I wear them at night.
I think I want to know this about you.
Why? Why not let your freak flag fly? That's what it's all about these days.
That's not dangerous? You could still let your freak flag fly? It's
you
fine.
You can't share them with someone, but you can, you know. I don't want to go too crazy, but the beautiful.
Cuomo. It just says Cuomo, though. There's nothing to it. It's just Cuomo or Fauci. Or Newsom, but if you're a guy, that's whatever. Okay, whatever floats your boat. The important thing to me is I look down a little further in the story, and this is really. Let's remember, it's 20. You know what I'm gonna start calling this year? #2020. It's #2020. The most important thing to me is that Kenava prides itself on being a carbon neutral, female owned, sustainable operation. These things could fall apart 3 days after I get them. I don't care. I'm not sending them back. The important thing about business is that they're sustainable, not that they give me products that I can use for a good long time. Come on, people, wake up. It is, in fact, #2020. Yes, Jared.
Eric, I didn't see Kemp or Trump panties on the website. I was looking for those. I mean, Kemp was the first state. Georgia was the first state to open up.
I got some.
You got what do you got?
We got brand new G-string. We've got panties. We've got boxer shorts. We've got everything. And they say, keep that area groomed, Keg.
All right. groom that area again.
Make that area groomed again. Whatever. They're beautiful. They're put together. They're stitched right here in Iowa.
We'll be back. Jared tells me that Chuck Schumer's on The View. Boy, I bet you they're grilling him. He'll be lucky to get out of there alive.
Whoopi, I have to say that the president has been doing a terrible job at this, and we have to do our best to fix it.
You know, Chuck Schumer, my young producer, and he may be a judgy kind of guy, but he says that your makeup looks awful and you look really, really old.
Well, to my young millennial friend, you also will age and not look good when you're 70. So, something to look forward to.
I think Jared's going to be one of these people who looks drastically different when he's my age than now. Drastically different.
Probably.
I really do.
If you look at images of me in college, I put a couple on my Instagram over the last couple of weeks, and
Throwback Thursday and that kind of stuff.
There's also a college radio theme or something like that. I can't remember, not college radio day or something like that, but I threw one out there for that too. And I mean, I looked
and you're
totally
like, wow,
different.
My face was a lot skinnier back then.
Oh, absolutely.
This alcohol. Are you not losing any hair yet, though? Are you?
I'm
taller than you, and I don't see any spots or anything. What about now I haven't known you long enough. What about your hairline? Like, I'm bald up on top. My hairline is in the front is basically the same as it's always been. I haven't lost it that way. Is your hairline? Do you have more forehead now than you had back then?
I would say no. I think it's about the same. I think the one thing that I can do now is I used to grow like one hair on my face. Mm-hmm. Now I grow six. Exactly. So that's a little different. Having to shave every 3 weeks now. That's the hardest thing
for me. This whole COVID, this thing. Like, I don't have any trouble not touching my face, but having been told that I can't touch your face,
it's so smooth.
I always thought just the lucky face for me. It's impossible for this Jared Yamamoto to grow facial hair, and it was a kind of a morning ritual. Everybody touched Jared's face with the back of our hand, it was for luck, and it's worked. I mean, the show's been doing great. And I've always blamed it on the luck of Jared's face. But this lockdown just Fauci
just ruined everything.
Had enough, Fauci. You have more Fauci in the news?
Yeah. People have noticed, Eric.
We can't get enough Fauci. You're wildly popular, Fauci.
People love me. The ladies love me. Never before has anyone loved me this much. I love it.
It took 80 years.
Well, better late than never, they say, right?
Well,
they
Dr. Fauci
for everything.
You helped develop some of them. I saw that.
I did.
I'm sorry. I saw that YouTube video.
If you want to hang out with me, I'll take care of it in under an hour.
All right. So what's going on now? Well, Fauci's not being seen.
Yeah, people have noticed that Dr. Fauci has stopped doing TV interviews as we continue to reopen around the country.
Is Trump keeping him from, is this Trump's fault? Would you blame Trump saying that you can't go out there and speak anymore? Or is this just what you want?
Well,
there's a little bit of self-isolating going on, but he can still do interviews from his home.
There's a rumor going around that President Trump wants to get rid of me because I'm all doom and gloom. No, that's not true. The reality of what's going on is Bill Gates and I have just finished filling up our rocket ship with gold bars. And we're going to take those to Mars with us. We're going to pee everywhere and build a city. And because of the news story that we're going to, you know. But
this is your long year. So this, all the years of planning have now paid off.
All the years of planning. All the vaccines I've developed over the years that sort of work. They've really helped pad my bank account. So I got a lot of gold. And we're going to be bringing with us pleasure bots.
I don't have to know that part.
Well, you know, it gets lonely up there.
I understand.
The good thing about these pleasure bots is that their wombs work. So we're going to repopulate. Everyone's going to look like me or Bill Gates. And when COVID is done here 20, 30 years from now, we'll come back.
Okay. What if people try to chase you to Mars? Will there be any... Could they bring you back?
I'm really letting it all out here. That's why the Space Force was created. President Trump is on board, but he's going to stay here because he's immune to COVID. And he got that way by... Go ahead.
You probably gave him the vaccine that you've already had, right?
Right. I gave him the vaccine. He's pretending to take the hydroxychloroquine, which I don't recommend anybody take, but he's pretending to take it. We're going to be up there 20, 30 years. Come back. He'll rejoin us, or he'll join us and come back. It is going to be fantastic.
He's going to be 110 years old in 30 years.
No. He'll have an avatar, because I'll be working on that. We have a little robot. It's a skinnier version of Trump and less orange with more hair. Yes.
Okay. It sounds good.
And his hands are bigger, by the way, so he'll be happy with that.
You and Bill Gates are getting in your rocket ship. But you're right. I haven't seen Bill Gates much lately either. So you guys are ready to take off.
We've got to get him out of here because Italy wants to lock him up for some stupid reason. So let's just go.
Have you noticed that no one's talking about the fact that two Americans are going to get on top of an Elon Musk spaceship and be shot to the... International Space Station in like a week, right, or something?
Yeah.
Nobody's talking about this. We've been hitching a ride with the Russians for, I don't know, 9 years or something now, and no one. So maybe this is this a cover story for you and Bill Gates and your rocket ship to Mars with your?
You think two people are going to be in there with Elon Musk, but Elon Musk isn't even a real guy. He's a digital creation, and Bill and I designed the rocket. We're going to get on it. You think we're gonna go right past the ISS, whew, straight to Mars?
Use it as a slingshot, huh? You're gonna just go right past.
No, this isn't Star Trek. We've got it all mapped out. We don't need a slingshot off of anything.
Yeah, I saw all this stuff on that YouTube video that was taken down. All this.
I don't want you to watch that because everything in it has been debunked, or the woman is so nuts you won't believe it anyway. So it's great; it works in our favor. But don't watch it because your eyes will explode.
I haven't actually watched it. I'm not a conspiracy theory guy. I don't believe in that kind of stuff. But now that I hear that you and Bill Gates are getting on your rocket ship with your bars of gold, I'm beginning to wonder.
Don't watch Plandemic. Just don't do it.
So the president is saying that he's going to stop taking hydroxychloroquine in 2 days.
Yes, Yeah, he was speaking with he was with the governors of Arkansas and Kansas,
which is interesting because it's Arkansas is Kansas with just an A and an R in front of it.
That's right. And
it's kind of the automatic rifle of Kansas.
Yes, it is, if you think about it like that.
Was it ever pronounced Arkansas? I mean, it's obviously, it's right there. They're near each other. And one's Kansas, and then the other, it's like West Virginia broke away from Virginia, right? So Arkansas, there's a reason. And then somebody said, let's go with Arkansas. Kind of the way Stephen Colbert is his real name. He just decided it sounds better with Colbert.
You gotta talk
Arkansas,
to the wall.
Arkansas sounds moronic.
Talk to the Walmart people. They'll explain exactly where that came from.
Yeah, they know the whole history. It's right there in the first Walmart. You can see the entire history of the state.
But when we come back, the fact that Trump is able to decipher the question that's being asked is impressive enough.
Yeah, everybody's just yelling questions at him, and he says he's going to stop taking the hydroxychloroquine in 2 days, which I thought he was taking it to make sure that he didn't get it. I'm even more confused now. But unlike CNN, I'm not angry because, honestly, I don't care what drugs the president's taking. I know that makes me weird in this society, but I don't. But yeah, is it going to be rainy all day again today? It's hard for me to get my 10,000 steps in.
It's mostly cloudy right now. It looks a little suspect.
Yeah, sun's going to come out later and it'll be warm.
Is it going to be? Okay, then maybe I can get me. Last time I've been listening as I walk, do 10,000 steps around my pool. I listened to that TCM podcast, The Plot Thickens.
Oh, that's
first
great.
First season
isn't it?
Is Peter Bogdanovich. He's 80 telling all these stories. And my buddy Scott McGee is in the credits. I haven't seen him in a long time. But it's just funny. I know people maybe can't relate to this, but like Orson Welles lived with that guy. Tell that story because you do the voices. Orson Welles set
and,
the
and what's her face? His girlfriend,
Sybil Shepherd. It's like early 70s, and so you got an old, aging Orson Welles is living in the same house, smoking cigars. Like he lit his bedroom on fire.
Yeah, they smelled smoke, and they're knocking on the door, and he's going, "Privacy, please. privacy, please.
privacy, please."
But he had set the bedspread on fire.
Oh, okay. Good Lord knows what was going on. Anyway, I enjoy it if you're into
sewing buttons onto a smock.
And calling it a shirt. Do people know who Peter Bogdanovich is anymore? I suppose they do. I don't know. I feel like an idiot when I bring up things that I know about. What are you talking about that for?
If people watch The Sopranos all the seasons, he played Dr. Melfi's psychiatrist.
That's right. So he was the psychiatrist that the psychiatrist went to in Sopranos. And he made great movies and terrible movies, and he's a raconteur, and I'm enjoying it. So what else? We were talking about the fact that Donald Trump says he's only going to do the hydroxychloroquine for another day or so.
I think the regimen finishes in a day or two. I think it's a 2 days. 2 days.
I don't understand if it's a prophylactic, right? If you're taking it to... Well, a condom is a prophylactic, but means you're doing something to keep something from happening, right? So you wear a condom to keep pregnancy from happening and some STDs from happening. Right. So the idea that you were taking hydroxychloroquine, I thought, was that you were doing it prophylactically. Why would there be a regimen to that? Does it keep you from getting it forever now?
Look, I got the reaction I wanted from the fake news idiots, and... There we
go.
That's
the
hot takes. I got all the hot takes.
You were taking it. That's why you want. You got the hot takes from the media. Now there's no reason to take it anymore.
That's right. I wanted Nancy Pelosi to call me all sorts of names and make herself look silly, and I didn't react to it. I win.
Okay. All right. So it was, in fact, a prophylactic in some way. It makes no sense. I was taking it to make sure I didn't get the COVID, but the regimen had done in 2 days, and that means... You'll never get COVID? What does it mean? I'm not sure exactly what
I'm never going to get the COVID until I do, and then I'll take it again.
Okay. I suppose. I thought you were going to badger me to play the song, but now it's getting too late.
Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry. Yeah, I was thinking about all the questions.
The fact that you were able to decipher that question out of that, I mean, those people, it's
well,
not
that
like
sounds like you pulled it from a pretty bad source. I mean, it's got that metallic internet... weirdness.
Are you blaming ABC News for their wonderful
ABC
material?
News, I hear, is getting more, like, aren't they winning? Aren't they winning the COVID lockdown society
news
thing?
David Muir's ratings are unbelievable.
Good. When he turns his head, he's pointing at you.
He said, who told me that about David Muir? Was it you, Jared?
That would be just Tim Andrews.
Somebody told me that he's self-conscious about his nose. I've never seen anything wrong with his nose, but he likes to be shot in a certain way.
Yeah, he's not otherwise straight onto the camera. He's kind of askew.
But I would think that straight onto the camera is where you would get the most fair and balanced coverage of your nose, right? Yeah,
too does much he have of a better shadow.
Does he? Oh, he has a better side. He has a better side.
Yes.
Now, is this you watching him coming up with this, or do you know for a fact that he actually cares about this?
Well, I'm deducing based on his body language and how he positions his head, okay, and also his nose.
Well, people do have, you know, it is true that I don't know about the nose itself, but the two sides of your face are not the same. Years ago, when I was probably in my teens, I saw a newspaper story where they talked. It was before Photoshop, but they took famous people and made one side of their face both sides of their face, like JFK and some other famous people, and it was amazing how different they looked. So the two sides of your face do look different, and that's why actors and actresses have a right profile. Like, they always want to be shot from this side because that's the better side of their face. And of course, beauty, what we think of as beauty, is usually symmetry. So the people that we think of as having the most beautiful faces are actually the faces where the two sides look most alike.
Right.
Don't say you didn't learn something right here on the Von Hessler Doctrine. Oh, you're pointing at this. Tonight at 9. Oh, I'm sorry. Tonight at night. Did you write this? Tonight at night. 8 p.m. tonight, coronavirus, where Georgia stands with Chris Chandler and our panel of, I'm not going to say the word experts, our panel of very smart people as the health emergency slows and the economic recovery continues. That music tells me, look, people, I would do this for another 5 hours. Why? Because I care about you and I love you. But these people will not allow me to do it. So that music says I'm going to have to go away. We got another show for you tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. You're all invited to join us. But until then, continue on the journey. For the time being, keep your social distance from the genie. Thanks for listening to the Von Hessler Doctrine podcast. Remember, you can hear the show every weekday from 9 to noon right here on 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's news and talk.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.